Good morning, everybody. It's really nice to be here, and we enjoy so much the welcome we get here. So thank you so much. Let's open by continuing to praise God here. We thank you so much, loving Father. We're going to look at this passage in Acts 27 about Paul's journey to Rome. And when we look at it, we have to say that it was very, very difficult, his journey. But he got there. And it's just like us. At times we have a difficult journey as well. And we get there. We thank you that we can trust in you. We thank you that you told us, don't be afraid, fear not. You will never leave us. So help us now as we read this text. It's an amazing thing that you have done. You've recorded this so carefully, so faithfully, so we can see that life is not easy. Life is not a cruise. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. The sea is absolutely merciless. In rough weather, you know what this is like. You can easily stumble, and yes, I see hands in the audience here. And of course, Ramey Zabrowski has been on a rough ocean as well. When you fall over and hit your head on something, the sea doesn't suddenly calm down and say, oh, I'm so sorry, you hit your head. You get up and you stagger over and you hit yourself again. So this is what happened with Paul's journey to Rome, which took a very long time, longer than normal. So we're going to take a look at this particular passage. If you do need Dramamine, I'm sorry, I didn't bring any with me, but it's a pretty rough trip we have here. The key to all of this is that he reached there in an unusual way. And the other important thing is, and so it was that all were brought safely to land, and he is our guide. So, Acts 27 verse 25 says, take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. The questions we ask ourselves in this, when we are to have faith over fear, what do we do when we have fearful circumstances? So what we have to do, we have to recognize that the going may get very tough for us. We have to recognize it in advance. When you know that, it helps you, because you're saying, yeah, I'm expected to go through this. Life is not a cruise. When things get tough, we have to have faith and trust in God. We have to insist to ourselves, because God tells us that, don't be afraid. We have to remind ourselves, don't be afraid. We have to keep saying that. And Paul was told through Ananias, when he was converted, he was told eventually, because this is what God said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. And a little later he was told that he was going to go to Rome and he was going to go to the emperor as well. So now, Acts 27. Acts, as you know, was the second part of his Dr. Luke's writings, in which were intended to give us a solid foundation for what we believe. He wrote it so that we would know what we believe and we could confirm it. So, let's ask some questions before we go into the passage. What do we learn about God in this passage? What do we learn about him? What makes it difficult to trust God in every circumstance? Everyone. Easy ones we can usually handle, but every circumstance, something totally unexpected. We will have storms in life. They happen. And we have to think about, how am I going to handle this storm in life? And what happens too when we've prayed for something to change and it doesn't? And sometimes it even gets worse. You say, wait a minute, I just prayed about this. Why is it getting worse? Because Paul did, probably at the beginning of the storm. And he probably remembered too, he was told that when Jesus was on the Lake of Galilee, Jesus, be calm, and it was done, it was finished. So Paul could have said, why can't you do this now? But it didn't happen this way. So Paul's trust in God, though, is a big, big thing. Our trust in God is a big, big thing to other people. It brought them all to land. They all landed because he had that faith over fear. What makes God worthy of trust? And then we have to think about stepping out in faith. How many times have you done this? What are you going to do? Are you going to go into panic mode? What disciplines or habits do we have to face these difficulties? So, another big thing we learn is that faith does not mean believers sit idly waiting for something to happen. He asks us to use our brains and our what he's given us, our strength, to prepare or actually mitigate the circumstances we're in. We're not supposed to just pray and then we say, okay, let's do it now. No, we're supposed to also be guided by our faculties as to what to do next. So, we have a God who fights for us. And in Exodus 14, we're told, lean on him, trust his ways and his timing. Pray that your faith in him would be greater than your fear of the unknown. God as Father reigns with the utmost care over his universe, his creatures, and human history as well, according to the purposes of his grace. This is not the way that Paul imagined he would get to Rome, in a shipwreck, but he did. He got there. In Acts 9, he is a chosen instrument. He knew that he was a chosen instrument, and he believed in God firmly. So let's review quickly some of the things that we learn about the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts as well. In Luke chapter 1, it says here, two most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So Luke was writing this in great, great detail so that we could understand that God really is there. And God really was there in this incredible storm. 14 days plus it lasted. So Acts 23 says to Paul, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify in Rome. So Paul was told he's going to go to Rome. And he trusted in God. I am going to go to Rome because that's what God told me. And Acts 25, leading up to this, of course, he had been arrested and then he appeals to Caesar. And they said, we're going to get you to Caesar. The Romans were careful with their citizens because Paul was a Roman citizen. He was going to be delivered to Rome. So, all right. Now we got to the text itself, Acts 27, verse 1. So let's go through it line by line. There's a lot of detail. This is Paul's companion, Luke. Luke was a neat guy. He came with him. Poor Paul had been beaten up so many times, and maybe he had to have a doctor with him all the time. I don't know, but Luke was kind enough to go with him on this trip. And verse 1, and it was decided that we should sail for Italy. So they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion, he's naming the centurion, and then embarking a ship of Adramyttium, see all the detail he's got in here, and we put out to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. So he is busy giving the detail. This really actually happened. Next day we went to Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly, gave him lead to go to his friends and be cared for. There's an interesting little thing there, isn't it? That Paul was taken care of by his brothers and sisters in Christ, in Sidon. They knew him. This is the beauty of being in the body of Christ, that almost anywhere we go where there is a member of the body of Christ, they're going to take care of us. Many, many years ago, in Spartanburg, North Carolina, I went to church there, and afterwards, people I didn't know invited us to dinner. I said, boy, that's pretty good. They took care of us. And this is what happens in the body of Christ, which is very, very big throughout the world. We are so grateful for the body of Christ around the world. Verse 4, putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. So the lee means the wind is not against you. They were able to sail against the wind, but it wasn't as easy it is as a triangular sail that they have in the modern ships. And then we came to Myra, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. So we thought, well, this is good, we're going to go to Italy. Wonderful. Okay. But we sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And then the difficulties began. Verse 8, coasting along with difficulty. Verse 9, Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, because even the fast was already over, that's the Day of Atonement, they're still marking time in that, but they were not necessarily observing it amongst the Jewish Christians. But the fast meant it was probably in October or so. Verse 10, God has given Paul some wisdom on this thing. He says, "Sirs," it's a polite address to them, "I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." At this point, he doesn't have complete clarity on what's happening, but he does know it's going to be dangerous. But listen to this, verse 11. "The centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said." How many times have you given really sound advice to somebody and they don't listen? It's frustrating, isn't it? But this happened to Paul. Now, he gave the sound advice on the thing, and the owner of the ship thought he knew better. By the end of this journey, everyone on this ship is going to know that Paul had the wisdom given by God to get them through this. At that point, they were listening to Paul completely. Yes. "Because the harbor," verse 12, "was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there." So that somehow they could reach Phoenix. It's not Phoenix, Arizona. It's Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. So they were hoping the winds would not be too severe and they could get there. Verse 13. "Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor, sailed along Crete close to the shore." It was much easier at that time to sail close to the shore because navigation was not easy. They didn't have this wonderful thing called GPS, and they didn't know exactly where they were. But soon, verse 14, "a tempestuous wind called the nor'easter struck down from the land, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along." So at that point, they were unable to sail against the wind, using the wind to draw them forward, but now it was so bad they had to be driven along. "Riding under the lee of a small island called Corda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat." So they had a lot of trouble already, and they hoisted the ship's boat up, and they also did a lot of other things too. And this is all written down carefully by Luke. He is a doctor. He just loves details, and he's got all the details in here. Well, it's useful for us because we know this was a long storm. And what we think about here is the fact that the book of Acts is written by Paul, by Luke, to record with certainty what happened. But it's also showing in this a whole chapter on a shipwreck. You say, why do we have a whole chapter on a shipwreck? Well, it's to show us, too, that life does get tedious and difficult, and it may take a very long time for the solution to happen. So we have to remember that. Verse 20, "when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days," and here's the understatement of the year, "and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being safe was at last abandoned." Everybody had lost hope. And have you faced things in life where you say, there's no hope. Whatever it is has happened, and there is no hope. But God brought them through it. So don't lose hope. Don't ever lose hope. They had lost hope by that time. So verse 21, "since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men," it's the famous "you should have listened" thing, "men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss." Now, I don't think he was saying it vindictively. I think he was trying to remind them that God is God and God is the one who worships. Listen to this. It says here, "for this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong." That's the first thing. I belong to him. I belong to him. "And whom I worship as well." So he's making sure everybody knows this God is the one he belongs to and he worships. It was not a lengthy speech here, but it was declaring who God is. And this is what they all needed to know. By the end of the trip, 276 persons on the ship knew that it was because of the God that Paul worships and he belongs to. And this is what the angel said, verse 24. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Isn't that neat? He was then told that there's no loss of life at this point. A little earlier, it appeared there could have been a loss of life, but now he's being told there's going to be no loss of life, and he takes this seriously, and he works with what God has told him. So, take heart, verse 25, he tells the people, take heart, men, for I have faith in God, that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island. So that's what was going to happen. And that's a serious thing. When you run aground, it's not like landing in the port and everything, you're going to be running aground and you're a good chance of getting totally soaked in water or worse. So now, verse 27, when the 14th night had come. So here's what we have to think about. How much did Paul pray on night one? I bet you he prayed a lot. And I bet you he thought of Jesus on the Lake of Galilee. You did it once. Why can't we? I know he would be polite about this, but he could have thought, why didn't it happen on day one? Why did we have to go through 14 days of this thing? But this is life sometimes, isn't it? We have faith in God, but it takes a lot longer than we expect. So we must remember that we learn something about God here. He has his timing on things. It's his timing, it's not ours. His was the perfect timing. And we think, why did it have to be in a shipwreck? But 276 people on board knew by that time that the God whom Paul worships and who he belongs to told the whole crew, the whole passengers, what was going to happen. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms, because they found they were near land. So what they used to do is they have a long rope, lead tied on the bottom, and if it was weak at the top, that meant it had got to the bottom and they could measure. So the word sounding is a little odd, because that's what they do today. It's sounding, but then it was a measure, something they let down into the water. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down from the stern, they let down 4 anchors. I think they have a picture of this. Well, this is a picture of, yeah. Okay, so they let down 4 anchors from the stern. So they're hoping to stop it in place. But here's what happened, verse 30. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. So here is Paul under God's command, commanding the centurion. So suddenly God has placed him in charge, in effect, of this whole thing. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. You've probably seen movies where this has happened. This happened in the another movie I saw recently. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food. Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. So here is the practical. God is practical as well. He's making sure that all of the people on board take some food, get their strength up. So when they have to try to swim to the shore, they've got that strength to do it. If you have had no food or no drink for 14 days, you're going to be so weak you might get drowned like it. So Paul, through God, has given him the sense of what to do. So when God performs a miracle, he doesn't expect us always to sit idly by and do nothing. He actually asks us to do. And then verse 34, he says, it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. What a story that is. He knows what's going to happen, and he knows how to make sure they get strength. When he had said these things, verse 35, he took bread, giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. That's interesting, isn't it, that breaking the bread, it wasn't a communion service at this point, but it was a clear statement that he gave thanks to the God he worships, to the one he belongs to. This is the God we worship and the one we belong to as well. They were all encouraged and ate some food. 276 persons on the ship. When they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors, left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. So there's no more steering in it. They were going to allow it to drift to the shore. Striking a reef, you see some beautiful old paintings of that. Striking the reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. This is the traditional way that the ocean pulverizes a ship, because when the breakers hit it, there's nothing to stop the breaker from tearing everything up. So the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. And Paul, of course, was one of the prisoners. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land. So that's a very sensible thing. The ones who could swim could go to the land, and they might even be able to help the people who could not swim. And the rest on planks and on pieces of the ship. And so it was, this little statement here. Isn't it amazing? Talk about anticlimactical statement. Look at this. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. They'd been through at least 14 days of this. And Luke is able to make these little understatements. And of course the English are accused of making understatements all the time. And I like this right at the beginning. It says, it was no small storm. Well, here they are. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. It's like that. So now we're going to go see the end of the story right up to Rome here. Whether that's Paul helping somebody, not quite sure, but it's a nice picture, isn't it? Paul has faith over fear. So after we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. Very, very amazing. So there was some care and love, and they were taken care of. Even though they'd been through a shipwreck, they were given that help. And God organized that as well. He made the people of Malta kind and considerate. In verse 11 of Acts 28, after 3 months we set sail on a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. So now, verse 14, in Puteoli, it's in Italy, there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And again, it's the body of Christ, isn't it? Helping out, loving them, taking care of them. Had Paul ever met these people before? Probably not, but they were taken care of by the body of Christ. Remember that. Wherever we go, we're going to find members of the body of Christ, and we can say thank you so much that you do that. So, what did we learn about God in these circumstances? Well, we know we can trust God. It was rough going, but it was tough. We have to think about that. When it's rough going, can we still trust God? Does he wait 14 days for the storm to continue, and then we're safely delivered? What about sudden storms? Because remember, this one was a sudden storm. Sometimes we get sudden storms in life, don't we? You know, if we go to the doctor and they tell us, well, oh, by the way, it's cancer and you have 5 months to live. These tough things do happen. So when they happen, we have to remember, trust in God. His timing is perfect. And we have to remember, too, that Paul's trust had a great effect on everybody else. So they actually did what he said. The centurion listened, the owner of the ship listened, and all the prisoners were delivered safely. Whether they escaped at the end, we don't know. But we do know that every one, 276 of them, were saved. Think about times when you stepped out in faith, trusting in God in serious circumstances. But think about times, too, when it actually appeared to get worse. And we have to remember, still trust God. We have challenges today, don't we? All of us. As we get older, or as we go through life, as we lose jobs, as we maybe have car accidents, all of these things happen. But what will you do about having faith over fear? And what things are you going to do to cultivate and discipline yourself so that when these things happen, you are ready, you are going to be faithful? And again, faith does not mean we just sit around and do nothing. We have to let God work in us to further the plan that he has. So God reigns over us completely. He's organizing the flow of history as well. So when the going gets tough, he got there, and they actually have a church apparently where they think he landed. St. Paul's Bay, they call it. 59 AD, September. I think it was probably later than that, but that's it. He landed, and he eventually got to Rome as well. So recognize that when the going gets tough, we need to be strong. Christian life is not a cruise. We need to trust in God, and we need to keep telling us. He said, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. We are going to be there. Exodus 14 says, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, and he will work for you today. Talking to the Israelites before the Egyptians were killed and they were delivered. The Lord will fight for you. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you have only to be silent. Let him do it. Lean on him. Trust his ways, his timing. Pray that your faith in him would be greater than your fear. And Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He goes with us. He goes into the operating room when we have a surgery. He goes with us for bad news, for good news. He's with us. He will not leave you or forsake you. So let's pray. We thank you so much that you have assured us in this passage about who you are. We know you are a faithful God. You are trustworthy. What you say does happen. And we thank you. We pray that you will help us to lean on you in all circumstances. We may not have an angel appear to us, but we have your trustworthy word. And we know that you've told us, don't fear, be courageous. So help us to hold on to that. No matter what happens in our lives, and we may think it's bad, but you may have a greater plan. The journey of Paul to Rome was not easy at all. But he got there, and he looks back, and he says, well, God brought me to Rome. And now, the most important thing, he was able to go to Caesar himself. And Caesar himself got to know who is this God that Paul belonged to and worshipped. And we know that his name is Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for who you are. And we pray that you'll help us to go out from here, remembering all of this and not fearing when circumstances are difficult. So again, thank you so much in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.